Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Todd Albaugh Show. We are live on location. Pretty darn close, just a stone's throw from Truax Field in Madison, Wisconsin. And we have a great show for you today, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. Mr. Zommers, how about this? We've arrived. We were like the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We're in the briefing room here. I'm almost important. I'm surrounded by important guests.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Right.
Yeah, especially earlier this morning on Up North News Radio, we had Senator Tammy Baldwin. So for me, it's a very eventful day. A lot of
it
important
is an
people.
Eventful day. Well, very good. I dressed in my Air Force blue flannel today. That's how dressed up I got. So I'm trying to support the team. We are on location this morning next to Truax Field here in Madison. A great show. We appreciate Brigadier General David May and others are going to be joining us here this hour live on location in his first sit-down interview since the arrival of the A-35s, a brand new air program here in the state of Wisconsin, replacing the F-16s. The first one landed this week. It arrived and was delivered here at the 115th, and we are very honored and pleased to be joined by Brigadier General May and others with us as well as a pilot, Mr. Zommers. And not just a pilot, but we'll clean it up for radio, a kick-butt female pilot. Even better, right? I mean, setting the standard for young women across America. So we'll be talking to them this hour and into the 9 o'clock hour as well. We'll also spend a little time later on in the show. Yes, the Bucks, not in six, not in seven. They were done in five as it turns out. Now, did you watch any of the game last night?
I did not.
I stayed up because I was getting ready for the show, and so I stayed up and watched the overtime. Sad, bad. Not glad, but we'll talk a little as well. We appreciate y'all being with us. But first of all, here is the weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin in our listening area for today. Partly sunny in Richland Center, WRCE News from the center, a high of 65 degrees. Then for tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 38. Tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny, slight chance of showers and a high of 67. But then the bottom falls out. Going to be cool this weekend, a high only of 46 and 49 over the weekend in Richland Center. WXCO Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, a chance of showers today, a high of 58. Then for tonight, a slight chance of a shower and a low of 41. And tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny, chance of showers in the afternoon and a high of 64. And again, cooler temperatures. Winter kind of returns, or at least a taste of it in terms of temperatures in Wausau over the weekend. WLAK in Lake Air Radio in Avery, Wisconsin today. Scattered showers, a high of 63 tonight. Scattered showers and a low of 46 tomorrow. Friday is going to be scattered showers and likely, that is, at a high of 56 degrees. Kara Foster will be in at the bottom of the hour with our complete weather forecast details. Maybe we'll ask her for a flying forecast for a pilot here as well. You got to have good weather. Although we'll find out later in the broadcast, I'm sure the new aircraft can fly in any type of weather. But always good. That's the one thing I've learned from my training as a pilot by watching Top Gun.
I was going to say for a second, training as a pilot. This is news to me.
No, I never. I have flown an aircraft, like a Cessna. A couple of friends of mine are pilots, so a small aircraft. And actually, my former boss, former Congressman Scott Klug, when I worked for him, when he represented the 115th, he, of course, they were so kind at the time, they gave him a ride. He went up in an F-16. Didn't puke or anything.
Yeah,
he held his own. He said it was one of the coolest experiences of his life.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. But the new aircraft, I believe, am I correct, is a one-seater. So even if I could, they wanted to. They might just say, "Albaugh, get in the wing." You know, I'll last about 10 seconds on takeoff, then I'm gone.
That's a generous number, I think.
A generous number, he says. Maybe only last a couple of seconds in the wing. I don't know. But no, they're beautiful aircraft from what I know, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that. As we said, the Milwaukee Bucks not so great last night. Jimmy Butler will haunt the nightmares of the Milwaukee Bucks for a long, long time. So will the memories of the Bucks' late game execution in its short stay in the playoffs. It was a surreal scene late in the evening last night at Fiserv Forum after the Bucks 128-126 overtime loss to the Miami Heat that ended the season of the number one overall seeding in the NBA playoffs. Number one overall. I get beat by an eight. While Bob Marley's Three Little Birds, with its familiar chorus of "Everything's Gonna Be All Right," blared ironically over the arena sound system, there were stunned fans who could not quite process the 4-1 series loss to the eighth-seeded Heat, the sixth time in NBA history that it's happened in the first round. It was almost too much to wrap their brains around. A 16-point collapse in the fourth quarter, the second straight late double-digit meltdown by Milwaukee. Another masterpiece by Butler, who scored 42 points and sent the game into overtime by dropping in a layup with 0.5 seconds remaining and a perfectly crafted lob play. That was the way that it was 0.5 seconds remaining. And they didn't even, it reminded me exactly of the way the Wisconsin Badgers basketball season went. In overtime, Bucks didn't even get a shot off. I mean, it was the time ran out. So, it was a great, I mean, and then some Yahoo reporter asked Giannis at the end of the, after the postseason, well, was the season a failure? I mean, really, is that I didn't blame Giannis for being a little bit perturbed with that question. I mean, great season, right? But just didn't work out for the Bucks this year. We'll be back with folks that it has worked out extraordinarily well for, live on location from near Truax Field. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Civic Media Radio Network. It is 15 now past the hour of 9 o'clock. Pardon me, above 8 o'clock. On location here near Truax Field in Madison, we are talking exclusively this morning with Brigadier General David May, who is the commander here of the Air National Guard of Wisconsin. And in his first sit-down interview since the arrival of the A-35s, along with a panel including Major Winetsky and also Colonel Panzer here. We'll get to them in just a minute, introduce all of them. But first of all, General, welcome back to the program. We're happy to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back. We had such a cool conversation last time. We really enjoyed it. And it's good to be back. Thank you.
And well, our pleasure. We get to be on your home turf here. And thank you for beautiful surroundings. For those of you who are watching on Twitter, Facebook, and anywhere else that we stream live. So thanks for the great surroundings. Great staff. Captain Peter has been outstanding in helping us get set up. So we thank him. And you run a tight ship here, General. We appreciate that.
I like to say this is where the magic happens here at the headquarters. And anybody that's been in the military knows that's kind of a joke. But we do important things here, and having you here today is super important.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you allowing us to do so and making it happen. For those of us who watch local news and television here in Madison, wow, it was pretty exciting to see the video and the visual of the new aircraft coming in. Arrived the first one, I believe, Tuesday. Is that correct?
Correct. So the first three aircraft that are going to be assigned here arrived on Tuesday, and it was just an incredible occasion. I mean, it's hard to find the right words to describe it and capture, you know, how big of a moment that was for us. This has been, an effort that's gone on, by my count, 12 or 13 years.
Wow.
And for it to actually come to be last Tuesday was just amazing.
So give folks a little bit of history for those of you who might not have followed this as closely as some of us. In a different life, I worked for Congressman Scott Klug and handled military affairs for him. Also worked for former State Senator Dale Schultz, who represents at the time where you were the commander, I believe, at one time, Volk Field.
Correct.
And Camp Douglas up there as well. And this has been something that the public has known about a long time. The F-16s, first of all, transitioning over to the A-35 or the F-35. And it's not something that, I think this is an important point. This is not something the military just said, we're going to do automatically. There was a process to get here. And if you could walk us through a little bit of that process, General.
Sure, absolutely. So it's like you alluded to, we flew the F-16s Block 30 specifically here for over 30 years. one of the older F-16s. So at some point, we needed to move to a newer aircraft. Over the past decade, the opportunity to essentially compete to be one of the next Air National Guard units to get the F-35, you know, came to us, and we very much wanted to win that competition because we wanted to move into the Air Force's newest best fighter aircraft. And that process lasted for years. And when I say it went back over 10 years, it really started with galvanizing community support and building building supporters outside of our gates, outside of the military, elected officials, so on and so forth, to help buoy this effort along. And then when the Air Force opened the competition window, we were ready to show why Wisconsin, really not just Madison, but Wisconsin as a whole, would be a great place for the F-35. Oak Field is a big part of that. Airspace, ranges, training facilities. We have the air refueling wing in Milwaukee that can support all kinds of missions in that airspace. And then there's the community. You know, this is a great place to continue to sustain an Air National Guard airbase and that mission. And eventually we won that competition. And then seemingly maybe you could say the real work started. The construction, training, all the many things that we had to do. So it's quite a process, and we didn't just get a call from the Air Force one day and they said, hey, we're going to switch your airplanes. It was absolutely not that.
I think it's important to take a moment to, I thought Channel 3 here in Madison, channel3000.com, if folks want to go and dial up the story. The reporters did a really nice job of interviewing some of your folks and as well with the video and the visual part of it. One of the points that they made was that the potential to lose the program here, the 115th essentially, could have had millions of dollars of impact economically on the Madison, the Dane County, and quite frankly, Wisconsin. So there's certainly a readiness standpoint, a military aspect. We'll talk about that. But if you could, General, talk a little bit about what the economic impact for the 115th is here.
Absolutely. So, you know, we employ roughly 1,200 people on the base, part-time and full-time. The overall economic input here is around $100 million a year, which is significant. When you stack it up to maybe some other economic contributors in the area. And, I mean, you know, there's good paying jobs with highly skilled people. It's the kind of thing that we want here in the community. So losing that would have been a big blow.
But I think it's important this is why so many folks stepped up. And to me, this isn't a partisan issue. It doesn't matter what political party or if any you belong to. I think all of us who live and work in the Dane County, Madison area, Wisconsin, you want the economic standpoint. And as we look at the economy right now, there are a lot of places that aren't doing so well. And to your point, there are a lot of jobs, not just the, you know, I'll call them the sexy jobs, whether you're the general or a pilot or a colonel or whoever. But there's a lot of folks in civilian jobs as well that are associated, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. To include, for example, the fire department. So the fire department on base is largely state employees. Mm-hmm. And that is the fire department for the Dane County Regional Airport. So that's one of the benefits of having us there. Mm-hmm. But those are good paying, important civilian jobs. And it's important to note that there are about a dozen other fighter squadrons in the Air National Guard in other states that are in the position of having their older aircraft be retired without an obvious replacement. And we're working on an effort to get Congress's support to hopefully increase the purchase rate of the F-35 and the F-15 EX. But we're very fortunate here to be the second F-35 squadron in the Air National Guard. And be off and running. But the Air National Guard at large is at some risk of having kind of what you described potentially happening, is not having a mission to come behind a fighter mission, which is critical to our contribution to the Air Force.
I thought somebody asked me this yesterday. They said, now, isn't this just like the second or third place that's gotten these aircraft? So this is Madison, Truax, 115th is the second one to receive the F-35s.
In the Air National Guard.
In the Air National Guard, okay.
So the Vermont Air National Guard was the first guard unit. Air Force-wide, there are over 300 F-35s that are operational right now. The full fleet of F-35s is over 900, wow. And that's Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy, and our partnered and allied nations. So the F-35 fleet itself is huge. The Air National Guard portion of it is small, and we hope that it's going to grow much bigger. Once we get our full complement of aircraft, it'll be about 40 in the Air National Guard, and we hope that that grows much larger.
But again, but also explain to people, because again, I think there's a misconception by some, not everyone, but by some out there, that, you know, oh, well, there's the Air Force, and then there's the Air National Guard. Somehow it's a lower division or something like that. There is no difference. And you all are deployed around the world in the exact same mission as folks who are in the quote-unquote Air Force, correct?
Yes. So officially, we're the primary combat reserve for the United States Air Force. And by and large, we fly the same aircraft. Our training standards are the same. Our funding for that training is federal. And we retain a lot of the talent that comes from active duty. I think it's true that all of us had active time beforehand, and then we made the decision to come to the Guard. So the Air Force invested in us, and we could have moved on to civilian careers, but we decided to come to the Guard. And you'll find that the Guard is a repository for a really deep bench of experience. And you see that in our pilots. Our fighter squadron here is amazingly stacked with talent, including people like Rachel. And then the same thing on the maintenance side, and quite frankly, all of our career fields. Mm-hmm. We've benefited from people that we've grown here from the ground up as Wisconsin guardsmen and women, and then people that have maybe grown up in Wisconsin. I think like all three of us all three of us grew up here in Wisconsin, did active time, and then came back home and kept serving. And that's a great deal for the nation, and it's been a great deal for me. And they're both smiling, so I think it's been a good deal for them as well.
One last question, but before we kind of move on to our panel here, General, but come on, part of what you do, certainly on, you have all the military responsibilities, but in your position, you're also kind of you are the face, and there is a certain public relations thing working with the public, working with politicians. I mean, the Air Force is funded through taxpayer money. I think this is an important point to make. There was a long period in what you described of getting to where we are today. There was a long period for public input. And you listen to public locals here in Dane County, in Madison, there is certainly a feeling out there. I think it's important to acknowledge that there were some folks that were opposed to this. They said it was going to be disruptive to, you know, the community, that sort of thing. But you took a lot of care in listening to people to make this the best experience you possibly could.
Agreed. I think we've been very respectful of people that we're less than excited about the F-35 coming here. We've also been very honest and very transparent. There were public hearings that we had to have that we probably would have had anyhow, but definitely outlets for people to express their concerns about different aspects of having military aircraft here. And I think in every case, we've addressed that, like I said, very, very honestly, and we'll continue to do that. It's our community too, so it's in our best interest that the community's interests are looked after by everyone that operates here, including us. So that dialogue can and should continue, and we'll approach it the same way that we have for the last decade.
Well, we appreciate that. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to one of the pilots who get the job done in the air, and also one of the folks that make sure that everything is ready and prepared. We'll have that discussion when we come back. And the really cool thing is, like I said, and Aaron, it's a little bit difficult here on the road. How much time we got left here in this segment?
We have a little over a minute.
A little over a minute. All right. So why don't we start with Major Wodeski, and give us kind of the 1 minute on you and just who you are and how you came into the line of aircraft.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Todd, and we do appreciate the opportunity to spend time with you and your listeners this morning. I grew up in Northeast Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And had opportunity to spend 12 years serving on active duty and flying there. And like the general said, as I was in a career transition point, if you will, looking to continue to serve while also being able to focus on family and other personal and professional goals was really thankful for the opportunity to come work for the 115 Fighter Wing and the Wisconsin Air National Guard. So again, now really looking forward to transitioning now our aircraft from the F-16 to the F-35 and excited for what the future holds.
So what you say, grew up in Northeast Wisconsin? Or, all right, very,
that's correct.
All right, that's awesome. So a Wisconsin person here. Did I read correctly? You were a Golden Gopher, though. You went across the border. We'll forgive you for that. You came back to Wisconsin. You know, that's no, Minnesota's a great university. And I know a lot of friends that went there. We're going to come back and talk to Major Winetsky. I'll get that right yet. I apologize. And the rest of our panel as well. We are live on location from 2X Field here on the Tunnel Ball Show on Civic Media. Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The time right now is 8:33. We are live on location at Truax Field. You know, you had to play at least some point this morning, a little danger zone from Top Gun. Of course, there is a little bit of we won't get into it, Mr. Zomers. You know, in polite company, but you know, this is Air Force, so that was Navy. So
I probably shouldn't have gone there.
No, it's fine. But I think for the layperson, for the goofballs like me, I mean, we just look at it and think, well, that's freaking cool, right? You know, so it doesn't matter. Right. To me, it doesn't matter what to these folks. Of course, it's a big deal. But I just think that all planes are really cool because I'll never be smart enough to fly one. I'm happy to find my seat, A2 on the plane. We're going to talk to not just someone who sits in them, but also flies them. Major Rachel Winetsky will be joining us here in just a minute. But first of all, we have to check in with our own pilot of the weather, weatherology meteorologist, that is Kara Foster. Kara, we are live on location at Truax Field this morning in Madison. I'm surrounded by military talent, men and women who are getting it done, and it's an exciting day. So short forecast, if you will, please, but we will get to the weather forecast this morning.
Of course. Well, what a cool place to be broadcasting from.
Right?
I'm just
it's
sitting in
cool.
my apartment. So I'm jealous. This sounds super duper cool. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of it's going to be an easy forecast just because all we're expecting is some showers the next few days. Very scattered showers throughout much of the state. Actually, the entirety of the state the next 4 days. Now, is it going to bring a lot of rain? No, but there is a lot of chances for some rain. So showers and thunderstorms are likely today in Amory. We're reaching a high of 64. A chance for some showers in Wausau. It's a little bit less, but we're reaching a high of 58. And then a partly sunny, beautiful day in Richland Center, reaching a high of 66. As we head into tonight, showers will continue into Amory, dip down to about 46. More showers are slightly possible in Wausau, but I mean, it's only a 20% chance. Not too much else is going on. Dip down to 41. And then another partly cloudy dip down to 38 night in Richland Center. Then from there, Friday is going to be very scattered showers throughout the state. Still see some sunshine throughout the southern half. Highs will be in the upper 50s, lower 60s still. As we head into the weekend, though, it will get a little bit cooler. So we're going to be only in the lower to mid 50s throughout much of the state. Rain showers are more likely Saturday going into Saturday night. They should taper off Sunday, but there is a slight chance for some rain and snow showers, at least throughout the central and northern portions of the state. Now, that doesn't mean we're seeing snow accumulation by any means. We're just going to dip down to the mid 30s. So it's just going to be kind of right on that line. And then early next week, we'll clear up on Monday throughout much of the state. Might see still some scattered showers, but then we'll start to warm up by next Wednesday. So I know we're kind of a little cooler right now. Just got to hold on. It's going to be kind of a gloomier weekend, but next Wednesday looks really, really nice. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Kara, you're fantastic. We appreciate it very much. Do you have visibilities in front of you? Can you give us the visibility this morning in Madison or across Wisconsin?
Well, it's definitely going to be really, I mean, as of right now, it's 10 miles in at least Richland. I guess 9 to 10. So in Amory and Wausau. Oh, and Richland Center. So all of right now, at least right now. Fortunately, the humidity is not too bad, but we do have to keep an eye on to like tomorrow morning. They might be a little bit more foggy out there.
So I'm just asking because, you know, we have pilots in the room. So
true,
all right, Kara, thanks so much. We appreciate you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, you as well. I'll catch you then.
All right. Thank you very much. Kara Foster from Weatherology. We appreciate her forecast this morning. We are live on location here near Truax Field in Madison, Wisconsin. We are celebrating and talking about the arrival of the new F-35 aircraft here in the state of Wisconsin, replacing the F-16s for the 115th Air Wing here in Madison, Wisconsin. Our guest this morning, our Brigadier General David May, Major Rachel Winiski, and Colonel Willa Panzer, all here on our panel, and we appreciate all of them. Major, first of all, let's start off with you this segment. I have two nieces, one who's just out of high school, one who's a sophomore. She's turned 16, got her driver's license. I think it's super cool. I would say a ground setter for a female to not just get into aviation, but looking at your resume, someone who has excelled at it. As someone who grew up in Wisconsin, what could you say to other young women, to girls who are thinking about this? What drew you into this?
Oh, no, appreciate it, Todd. And, you know, one of the awesome things about the ability to share our experiences here is really that establishing that solid foundation, and really through support of family, friends, and really our educators in the great state of Wisconsin, and going and really establishing, really felt like I had a strong aptitude in science, math, and then engineering growing up as well. Youth, usually in like that kind of early high school stage, are asked, what are you going to do when you grow up?
Right.
that's a fairly daunting challenge.
Yeah.
For anyone to answer, and myself included. And it was like, well, I don't know what I want to do, but we'll cross off the things I don't want to do, and we'll just shorten that list a little bit.
Sure.
But I'd, again, been strong in math and science. Didn't know if I was going to go be a mathematician or a physicist or an engineer. And kind of whittle that down. I'm like, oh, engineering sounds pretty great. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, didn't have an opportunity to fly when I was younger. But my mom says it was always interesting. I don't have a recollection of that. but, you know, as I was growing up, you know, I'd be like, well, you know, an engineer, that'd be pretty sweet.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'd kind of like to be a pilot, too.
Sure.
Well, I'm just going to be an engineer and a pilot. I'll go be a test pilot. And that was the logic train for how I sit in front of you today.
That's a great story.
Which, now, go ahead. And it's really great. You know, and to be honest, the biggest thing, Todd, is really having that support and that infrastructure, that there really are no barriers. And it's not just a gender, a race, a creed, a color, or an economic situation where you happen to be growing up. It's keeping the doors open, being involved with the community, and having that strong community support that really for anyone, regardless of your gender, can go and succeed. And that's really one of the awesome opportunities about, you know, growing up in the Midwest and growing up in Wisconsin, is having that strong foundation.
I think that's a wonderful, fascinating comment, because I've heard that from other women who've succeeded. My grandmother was the maternal grandmother, was the first woman to serve as a dean of UW College here in the state of Wisconsin. And she often said, you know, I just didn't think about it. I just went and did it. And I think that, you know, you as well, you just went and did something. And I have a lot of admiration for that. I believe I looked at your resume briefly. Aerospace, it was what you majored in college, mechanical engineering and aerospace?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So aerospace engineering, mechanical engineering, really think about the difference in the density to the fluid with which you're operating. But nonetheless, like really excited and, you know, had kind of drawn to aircraft and was just really an awesome opportunity to get to learn and get to be smarter and something you enjoy and enjoy doing. And then out of college and out of grad school, had commissioned into the Air Force and spent time on active duty. We had an opportunity to fly three operational assignments in the A-10 and then further my career path and to go to test pilot school, which is just an outstanding opportunity, flying the F-16, doing developmental tests in both the F-16 and then also developmental tests in the F-35. Before then, I had an opportunity to, again, continue to serve in a non-active duty capacity and get back here to my roots and my home and get back here towards my family and continue to serve in the 115th Fighter Wing and the Air National Guard.
I love how you just rattle off all these aircraft. Like, yeah, you did that. I mean, I'm just looking at it like in awe. And you know, to you, it's just almost second nature. I mean, I would think that there has to be a certain level. I don't want to call it ego, But you have to go in confident and not be afraid of this stuff. I mean, what I mean, these aircraft are what the 835 like $100 million each. Is that what I read? Something like that.
A million,
you know, in Washington, a million here and a million there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money.
The more we buy, the cheaper they get.
To get behind a piece of equipment like that and be the only person they're responsible, you know, you have to have some confidence.
That's absolutely. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, there's a sensation of like cockiness but it's really is confidence. We're very well trained. We know our systems. We know our aircraft. We know our job and we know how to do it well. And it takes what someone who may not necessarily be as exposed to this may seem like a daunting task, and it normalizes it into today's Thursday, and this is Thursday, and we're going to go fly today. It sounds like an outstanding day to go fly. By the way, I'm extremely jealous.
Visibility,
yeah, absolutely.
But
it really normalizes that. It's being comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that just becomes what you go do. And you know you have that foundation, that academic background, and that systems knowledge and the knowledge of your tactics to go, and with the support of everyone out there. Remember, we're just one person in an airplane of an infrastructure of support through not just our maintainers, but our logisticians, our fire department, our medical team, security forces, et cetera, that really go to make a sortie happen to ensure that we are ready and we are adequately trained to execute our job.
Let's transition to that since you brought it up, Major. Turning to Colonel Willa Panzer. Colonel, you are one of the people that helps maintain, as the term was used. What is your role, and how did you start your career?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for letting me represent the 550 aircraft maintainers that it takes to make this happen.
It's our pleasure.
I, too, grew up in the local area. I did go to the University of Wisconsin.
That's fantastic. So we have the battle of the axe right here on the show this morning.
We won't talk about the last one.
We can't talk about it because the major got us beat here.
I did ROTC here at the university, graduated, and also did 11 years of active duty stationed around the country and deployed around the world on the aircraft maintenance side. So I have worked with heavy aircraft, helicopters, CV-22, if you're familiar with that. And then when it was time for our family to make the same kinds of decisions about where we wanted to have a stable home for our kids and get back to family, this was the perfect place to be. And this was the perfect opportunity to keep serving and doing what I loved. So
what did you, going back to your time at UW, what did you study there? What did you prepare for?
I studied abnormal psychology and criminology. I wanted to be an FBI profiler.
Wow.
So, unlike the before it was on TV, unlike the major who had a plan and knew where she was going, I, to be honest, stumbled into ROTC and found it to be a perfect match. I had grown up around airplanes. My dad was an engineer, a non-flying flight engineer. So I'd grown up around planes. I've always loved the aircraft. And I just thought this would be an interesting place to start out my adult life, and found it was the right place for me. So add that interest in people, and here I am today.
Correct me if I'm wrong, all three of you. I hear this in different iterations, but all three of you. But what I keep hearing and coming back to is this sense of family, of team, that it doesn't matter, you know, to your point, Major, race, color, creed, gender, that there's a mission that unifies all of you, and it's a team and a family atmosphere. Is that something Absolutely. That kind of led all three of you to your experiences in the military?
I would say definitely. I think that's something you find definitely in the Guard. We say all the time, the Guard is family, and we have very long standing relationships in many cases, and you develop family-like ties with each other, and it goes beyond just whatever your job is. Or whatever your career aspiration is, we look out for each other, just like family, and it's why our retention rate is so good. I think in a lot of cases, people stay for the people.
Yeah. Well said. Stay with you, folks.
Absolutely, and you know, like you mentioned earlier, we are part of the community. you know, we make Madison is our home as well. And it's just an awesome city and awesome surrounding area. And, you know, to have the support of our local community as we go and continue to engage and go about our daily lives as well. It's just an outstanding place to live. And we're really thankful for the opportunity.
Fantastic.
I couldn't agree more. And to emphasize the family we have in the Guard, I actually have several fathers and sons that work together in our unit. It's carried on. Like she said, we're part of the community. We get out into the community because it is our home, and others join us and become part of our family, and it's a great relationship.
Fantastic. We're going to come back and talk more with our guests in just a moment. We are live at Truax Field and are darn near close to it. Oh, this is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That doesn't get you fired up. I don't know what will.
By request on the General Main Rockin' Hour. A little fire. We're gonna start that as a podcast on Civic Media. Rock with the General. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location here near Truax Field at 115th, I should say, here in Madison. And we are talking to Brigadier General David May, who is the commanding officer, Major Rachel Winetsky, who is a pilot here at 115th and is one of the pilots who is flying the F-35s these days, and Colonel Willa Panzer, who is on the ground crew and maintenance crew, the prep crew, and makes it all happen behind the scenes. Want to get right into it. First of all, Major, what the heck is it like to get behind these aircraft? Because looking at it, it just seems pretty darn cool.
It is, Todd. And it's one of the things that I think on a day-to-day basis, as we're so focused on our mission and our operations and what we're going to go do today, it every once in a while, you got to take a step back and reflect on the opportunity that you do have to go fly. And particularly, you know, having an ability to fly to a wide variety of aircraft, kind of one of the analogies I can best describe as we transition into these fifth-gen capabilities of this platform is to go from driving maybe an old like muscle car from back in the day to now going in driving a Tesla with a touchscreen and an additional automation that goes in and takes the flying qualities and the handling qualities of an aircraft, which have advanced dramatically throughout history, and going to take that just basic flying workload off of the pilot or reduce it to an extent so we can focus on executing our mission safely and effectively. So it's really just an outstanding opportunity. Every once in a while, you got to remind yourself to take a look outside and go and just admire the amazingness of what we have here in the surrounding community. And it's just an outstanding opportunity it's such an exciting career, but one of those things that it's not just us. And it's really the whole team that comes together to ensure we can execute our mission. And without that, without that infrastructure and that support, I don't have a job. And that's kind of one of the biggest things to think about is it is a team. It's not just one individual that goes about to execute.
I love the analogy with the Tesla. I don't have one, but I have a friend of mine out in California I visited, and he and his wife have one. And you're 100%, both vehicles will get you there, but one is a whole lot cooler. It was a lot more bells and whistles, and it can be more efficient, right? And the other, I think that's a great analogy. Colonel, from a preparation standpoint, What is kind of your daily or your team's daily routine, if there is a daily one, but what things in general are you usually doing to prepare for the mission?
Sure. I just want to start off by using the analogy she just gave about the cars. Not only is it a big change to fly the Tesla version, it's a big change to maintain the Tesla version.
I can only imagine.
So over the last couple of years, we have sent folks out for 1 or 2 years of training away from their families to learn how to maintain these aircraft. They're coming back now. They're helping us teach the other ones. So we're going to learn how to do the quick day-to-day maintenance, the fueling the aircraft, the getting it ready for them to fly, and then also some of the more long-term. And of course, sometimes airplanes don't cooperate the way we want them to, and they have issues when they land. So learning to troubleshoot and fix those is of a top priority right now. Numbers-wise, it does take 550 maintainers to get these aircraft in the air, plus additional logistics support. So very important to have that. But for those maintainers who range in age from 18 to 60, there is nothing more personally fulfilling to them or to me than to hand over a safe aircraft that she can put her life on the line for us. That's what we do every day. So.
And I understand some things are you know, classified, you can't talk about, so just tell me if I'm going too far. But in general, speaking in general terms, how long does it take to get the aircraft ready? So like, if you get a call that, well, let's use the, and again, we can't get into specifics about it, but hypothetically, a situation like we had recently where the 115th was called upon to go over Lake Huron on a mission, in general, how long does it take to get an aircraft ready like that?
Sure, we try and keep the aircraft ready so that they can be ready for a takeoff.
Always noticed, basically. That's amazing.
Relatively quickly.
Yeah, and about, like, how many are I guess, hours, like maintenance hours, does a team spend on an aircraft per day, per week?
As we learn this new aircraft, we'll be able to give you a better number on this one. But
I understand.
It was a good stab in the dark for the F-16, 10 to 15 hours per flight hour.
Per flight hour. Wow. That's a lot of maintenance. But you're right. I mean, these are multi-million dollar vehicles, and more importantly, or most importantly, human lives are on the line.
Absolutely,
you know, of our pilots who are flying them. A couple of minutes left in this segment. I want to ask the both of you, but in particular you, Major. And I know it's a stupid question, but for goofballs like me who watch, you know, Top Gun, how much of that is real, and how much of it is imagined?
You know, you follow your heart, Todd.
And what you want,
but the camaraderie and the team aspect of how do we go about to get this mission done, and I know that if I look to the person to my left or my right, that I can depend on them, and that it's just as much as they're depending on me to go do that. So that's absolutely truthful. As far as, you know, the flying aspect, you know, Hollywood is great. It was great to talk with the pilots that actually flew the F-18 to get those shots.
Really?
And those are pretty aggressive maneuvering. It's just awesome to provide, you know, those that may not have an opportunity to go execute this on a daily basis, you know, to be able to go and demonstrate some of the capabilities that our joint Navy partners have. So it's really just it's great.
But the bottom line is, those theoretically could be actual types of maneuvers, the G's that you're pulling, that sort of thing. That's real in the aircraft.
Yeah, so, you know, aircraft can pull up to about 9 G's, and, you know, so 9 times your body weight, you feel it, right? So, and yeah, absolutely. And that's again, kind of one of the great things that, you know, the Air Force and the Guard in particular have done, because it is a demanding job, is the focus on the human performance initiatives of the prevention and then recuperation of any sort of injuries that in the wear and strain of thousands of hours in fighter jet aircraft put on your body. So it's, again, great to have that support to ensure that we're ready to go and execute the call as required to go and do our job safely.
About 30, 40 seconds here, just kind of popcorn around. Since when Top Gun movies and stuff like that comes out, do you all find your friends and family talking more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the
recruitment levels go up.
Actually, yeah, the Air Force did, I think, report a bump in recruiting. The TSA guy looked at my ID card and gave me the thumbs up, Top Gun, when I walked through, which I thought, and I said, dude, I'm in the Air Force. I mean, Navy's great, but I'm in the Air Force.
For the civilians, you know, we just think it's all
good. He clearly didn't care, which is fine.
We thank you all for your service. Whatever.
I appreciate the friendliness.
Absolutely. We'll come back with hour number two. Our panel's going to stick around. More live from the Truax Field on location. This is the